Section 10. The Lure of Speculation. Chapter 45. Grasping for Riches. The people of God, who have been blessed with great light in regard to the truth for this time, should not forget that they are to be waiting and watching for the coming of their Lord in the clouds of heaven. Let them not forget that they are to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let no man set up his idols of gold or silver or lands and give the service of his heart to this world and to its interests. There is a mania for speculating in land, pervading both city and country. The old, safe, healthful paths to competence are losing popularity. The idea of accumulating substantial means by the moderate gains of industry and frugality is an idea that is scorned by many as no longer suited to this progressive age. The desire to engage in speculation, in buying up country and city lots, or anything that promises sudden and exorbitant gains, has reached a fever heat, and mind and thought and labor are all directed toward securing all that is possible of the treasures of earth in the shortest possible time. Some of our youth bid fair to be hastened on to ruin because of this feverish grasping for riches. This desire for gain opens the door of the heart to the temptations of the enemy, and the temptations that come are of such an alluring nature that there are some who cannot resist them. The spirit of gain-getting. The spirit of gain-getting, of making haste to be rich, of this all-absorbing worldliness, is painfully contradictory to our faith and doctrines. Should the Lord Most High be pleased to impart His Holy Spirit and seek to revive His work, how many would be hungering for the heavenly manna and thirsting for the waters of life? I see there is danger of some of our brethren saying, as did the foolish rich man, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Many are forgetting that they are God's servants and are saying, "Tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant." God is looking on your every business transaction. Be on your guard. It is time that deep, earnest thought should be given to laying up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, not thieves break through and steal. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 17A, 4, 5. The Unwise Use of Money and the Spirit of Speculation. The Infatuation of New Enterprises. If a new patent passes through the country, men who profess to believe the truth find a way to raise means to invest in the enterprise. God is acquainted with every heart. Every selfish motive is known to Him, and He suffers circumstances to arise to try the hearts of His professed people, to prove them and develop character. In some instances, the Lord will suffer men to go on and meet with an entire failure. His hand is against them to disappoint their hopes and scatter what they possess. Those who really feel an interest in the cause of God and are willing to venture something for its advancement will find it a sure and safe investment. Some will have a hundredfold in this life, and in the world to come, life everlasting. But all will not receive their hundredfold in this life, because they cannot bear it. If entrusted with much, they would become unwise stewards. The Lord withholds it for their good, but their treasure in heaven will be secure. How much better is such an investment as this? Drunk with anticipated gains. The desire that some of our brethren possess to earn means fast leads them to engage in a new enterprise and invest means, but often their expectations of making money are not realized. They sink that which they could have spent in God's cause. There is an infatuation in these new enterprises, and notwithstanding these things have been acted over so many times, and they have before them the example of others who have made investments and have met with an utter failure, yet many are slow to learn. Satan allures them on and makes them drunk with anticipated gains. When their hopes are blasted, they suffer many discouragements in consequence of their unwise adventures. If means is lost, the person looks upon it as a misfortune to himself, as his loss. But he must remember that it is the means of another which he is handling, that he is only a steward, and God is displeased with the unwise management of that means which could have been used to advance the cause of present truth. At the reckoning day, the unfaithful steward must give an account of his stewardship. More attractive than persevering labor. The enemy of souls is very anxious to hinder the completion of the special work for this time by bringing in some erroneous transaction. He will bring it under the garb of great liberality, and if those pursuing this course have apparent success for a time, others will follow. And the very truths that are testing our people for this time, and which, if clearly understood, would cut off such a course of action, lose their force. Some will strike out into flattering, speculative money-making schemes, and others will quickly catch the spirit of speculation. It is just what they want, and they will engage in lines of speculation that take the mind off from the sacred preparation that is essential for their souls, in order for them to be prepared to meet the trials which will come in these last days. The enemy of souls has his plans carefully laid, and he will try in every possible way to carry them to success. Something after this order, reference is here made to a plan for land and mine speculation to be promoted among Seventh-day Adventists, with a large part of the anticipated gains dedicated to the Lord's work. A plan that promises to be as gracious and successful as this has been started a good many times among our people. But when the time came that they expected great success, it proved to be an entire failure. That confused the minds of the people. They had gotten into speculation, and they liked that plan better than hard work and going right on as we have done usually, laboring perseveringly and trusting in the Lord. Diverting minds from the truth. Every movement of this order, which comes in to excite the desire to get riches quickly by speculation, takes the minds of the people away from the most solemn truths that ever were given to mortals. There may be encouraging prospects for a time, but the end of the matter is failure. The Lord endorses no such movements. If this work is sanctioned, many would be attracted by these speculative schemes that could not in any other way be led away from the work of presenting the solemn truths that must be given to the people at this time. A snare of Satan. Many times when the Lord has opened the way for brethren to handle their means to advance His cause, the agents of Satan have presented some enterprise by which they were positive the brethren could double their means. They take the bait, their money is invested, and the cause, and frequently themselves, never receive a dollar. Brethren, remember the cause, and when you have means at your command, lay up for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Jesus, for your sakes, became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich in heavenly treasure. What will you give for Jesus, who has given all for you? Chapter 46. The Temptation to Speculate. Satan has destroyed many souls by leading them to place themselves in the way of temptation. He comes to them as he came to Christ, tempting them to love the world. He tells them that they may invest with profit in this or that enterprise, and in good faith they follow his dictation. Soon they are tempted to swerve from their integrity in order to make as good bargains for themselves as possible. Their course may be perfectly lawful, according to the world's standard of right, and yet not bear the test of the law of God. Their motives are called in question by their brethren, and they are suspected of overreaching to serve themselves, and thus is sacrificed that precious influence which should have been sacredly guarded for the benefit of the cause of God. The business which might be a financial success in the hands of a sharper, who will sell his integrity for worldly gain, would be entirely inappropriate for a follower of Christ. All such speculations are attended with unseen trials and difficulties, and are a fearful ordeal for those who engage in them. Circumstances often occur which naturally cause reflections to be cast upon the motives of these brethren, but although some things may look decidedly wrong, these should not always be considered a true test of character. Yet they often prove to be the turning point in one's experience and destiny. The character becomes transformed by the force of circumstances under which the individual has placed himself. A dangerous experiment. I was shown that it is a dangerous experiment for our people to engage in speculation. They thereby place themselves on the enemy's ground, subject to great temptations, disappointments, trials, and losses. Then comes a feverish unrest, a longing desire to obtain means more rapidly than present circumstances will admit. Their surroundings are accordingly changed, in hope of making more money. But frequently, their expectations are not realized, and they become discouraged and go backward rather than forward. This has been the case with some in. They are backsliding from God. Had the Lord prospered some of our dear brethren in their speculations, it would have proved their eternal ruin. God loves His people, and He loves those who have been unfortunate. If they will learn the lessons which He intends to teach them, their defeat will in the end prove a precious victory. The love of the world has crowded out the love of Christ. When the rubbish is cleared away from the door of the heart, and it is thrown open in response to the invitation of Christ, He will come in and take possession of the soul temple. Deceiving enchantments and bribes. Now, in probationary time, we are all on test and trial. Satan is working with his deceiving enchantments and bribes, and some will think that by their schemes they have made a wonderful speculation. But lo, as they believe that they are rising securely and are carrying themselves loftily in their selfishness, they learn that God can scatter faster than they can gather. Misleading prospects. Many have conscientiously loaned their money to our institutions, that it may be used to do a good work for the master. But Satan sets in operation schemes that will produce in the minds of our brethren a great desire to try their fortunes, as in a lottery. One and still another are flattered by strong representations of financial gain if they will only invest their money in lands, and they take their means out of our institutions and bury it in the earth, where the Lord's cause is not benefited. Then, if one is successful, he is so elated over the fact that he has gained a few hundred dollars that he decides to keep on getting money if he can. He continues to invest in real estate or in mines. The device of Satan is successful. In the place of increased funds flowing into the treasury, there is withdrawal of means from our institutions, in order that the owners may try their fortunes in the mining business or in land speculation. The spirit of greed is fostered, and the naturally penurious man begrudges every dollar that is called for to be used in the advancement of the cause of God in the earth. Speculation by ministers. We are nearing the close of time. We want not only to teach present truth in the pulpit, but to live it out of the pulpit. Examine closely the foundation of your hope of salvation. While you stand in the position of a herald of truth, a watchman upon the walls of Zion, you cannot have your interest interwoven with mining or real estate business, and at the same time do effectually the sacred work committed to your hands. Where the souls of men are at stake, where eternal things are involved, the interest cannot safely be divided. This is especially so in your case. While engaged in this business, you have not been cultivating heartfelt piety. You have had a feverish desire to obtain means. You have talked to many about the financial advantages to be gained by investing in lands. Again and again, you have been engaged in picturing the advantages of these enterprises, and this while you were an ordained minister of Christ, pledged to give your soul, body, and spirit to the work of the salvation of souls. At the same time, you were receiving money from the treasury to support yourself and your family. Your talk was calculated to draw the attention and money of our people away from our institutions and from the business of promoting the Redeemer's kingdom on the earth. Its tendency was to beget in them a desire to invest their means where you assured them that it would be doubled in a short time, and to flatter them with the prospect that they could help the cause a great deal more by so doing. To avoid worldly entanglements. Especially should the minister keep himself from every worldly entanglement and bind himself to the source of all power, that he may represent correctly what it means to be a Christian. He should cut loose from everything that would in any way divert his mind from God and the great work for this time. Christ expects him, as his employed servant, to be like himself in mind, in thought, in word, in action. He expects every man who opens the Scriptures to others to work carefully and intelligently, not exercising his powers unwisely, in a way to injure or overtask them, but so that he may be fitted to do good work for the Lord. Speculating in land near our institutions. I was instructed to bear a testimony to our brethren, telling them that they must guard themselves against unfair speculation in connection with the purchase and sale of land near the school property. Every transaction in buying and selling must be characterized by strictest integrity. Selfishness must not be indulged. The principles for which our school shall stand, and which are to be taught the students as part of their education, are to be cultivated and revealed by those who closely connect themselves with the school interest. They must not, by efforts for personal gain, counterwork the principles of Christian education for which this school is to be established. Day by day, we are making our record for time and for eternity. Let every action be just and square, in selling as in buying. Let nothing of an overreaching character be brought in, for that would discourage our brethren and displease God. Large sacrifices have been made by the people in our churches in order that this property might be secured for our school. Let not those who secure advantages for themselves take unfair advantage of their brethren who may need to settle near the school. Some who have the spirit of speculation should be discouraged from coming to, because they would not be a blessing to the school, but a hindrance. Let us remember that we are standing in review before God, and that every unfair action to serve self is recorded against us in the books of heaven. Oh, I entreat our brethren to put away the spirit of commercialism. I pray that none may gather about the school whose chief purpose is to advantage self. Let all seek to excel in spiritual things, that the ambitious spirit may be changed to a spirit of unselfishness. This change must be wrought in us if we would be wholly approved of God. The lure of lotteries. Then there is some lottery business connected with it, and one young man that goes there obtains a gold watch. What then? The watch may be genuine gold, it may be no fraud, but ah, there is a fraud back of that, and that is the snare. If he has gained this once, he will want to try it again. Oh, I would rather, if it had been a son of mine, have him lying in his coffin than sporting that gold watch. Then, here are other boys. He shows his watch to them, and then there is an itching with them to try their luck in just the same way, and so they will attempt this matter themselves. Then another will attempt it, and another, and so the influence extends from one to another, and the devil knows just how to play his game. Chapter 47. Unwise Investments. A few weeks ago, while I was attending the camp meeting at San Jose, 1905, some of our brethren presented before me what they considered wonderful opportunities to invest means in mining and railroad stock that would bring large returns. They seemed confident of success and spoke of the good they would do with the profits they expected to receive. Others were present and seemed interested to see how I would receive their proposition. I told them that such investments were very uncertain. They could not be sure that these enterprises would succeed. I spoke to them of the everlasting reward that is assured to those who lay up their treasures in heaven. But in these uncertain ventures, I begged them, for Christ's sake, to stop right where they were. In the night season, I was instructed to tell God's people that it is not according to His will that those who believe in His near coming should invest their means in mining stock. This would be burying our Lord's talent in the earth. I will read a copy of a letter I wrote to one of the brethren I have mentioned. San Jose, California, July 2, 1905. Dear brother, you have presented before me a proposition to invest in mining stock. You feel confident that such an investment would prove successful, and you think that in this way you will be able greatly to help the cause of God. The Lord has given me instruction that at the meetings I would attend, I would find men encouraging our people to invest their money to work mines. I am bidden to say that this is a device of the enemy to consume or to tie up means that is greatly needed to carry on the work of God. It is a snare of the last days, to involve God's people in loss of their Lord's entrusted capital, that should be used wisely in the work of winning souls. Because so much money is invested in these very uncertain enterprises, the work of God is sadly crippled for lack of the talent that will win souls to Christ. Last night in vision, I was raising my voice in warning against worldly speculations. I said, I invite you to take shares in the greatest mine that has ever been worked. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. If we will invest in God's mining stock, the return is sure. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. My brother, will you make an investment to secure the heavenly pearl of great price? This is mining stock, in which you may invest without running a risk of disappointment. But, my dear friend, we have not a dollar of the Lord's money to invest in mining enterprises in this world. I am exceedingly sorry that any of our people have made the mistake of burying their God-given capital in mining stock, thinking thereby to increase their revenue. The prospect may seem flattering, but many will be sadly disappointed. I recall the case of a brother who was once interested in the work and cause of God. Some years ago, when I was in Australia, this brother wrote to me, saying that he had purchased a mine from which he expected to receive great profits. He said that he would give me a portion of what he would receive. Occasionally he would write to me, saying, "Now the prospects are good. Soon we shall receive returns." But the returns did not materialize, and after sinking many thousands of dollars, his ventures proved to be an entire loss. This is one of many similar cases that have come to my attention. Many have expressed to me their sorrow that they had ever encouraged anyone to invest their means in mining stock. If there is one here who has received money from a brother or sister for any such investment, it is his duty to return it, if the one who gave it so desires. I warn you to be careful what you do with your Lord's goods. By placing it in God's treasury, you may ensure for yourselves a revenue from the inexhaustible treasures of His kingdom. The people of God have been too easily satisfied with mere surface truths. We should search diligently for the deep, eternal, far-reaching truths of God's Word. Having found them, we shall joyfully sell all that we may buy the field. For further study, some must learn by experience to let speculative enterprises alone. Testimonies for the Church. 1. 304, 305. A Trap for the Poor. Testimonies for the Church. 1. 480, 481. Many outgeneraled by Satan, with no seeming possibility of failure. Testimonies for the Church. 2. 664, 665. Especially should ministers keep themselves free. Testimonies for the Church. 2. 622, 626. The Acts of the Apostles, 366. Gospel Workers, 340 to 342. Speculation is a dangerous experiment. Testimonies for the Church. 4. 616, 617. Speculation and business enterprises with unbelievers a hindrance. Testimonies for the Church. 9. 19. Land and mining speculation. Gospel Workers. 341. Aftermath of regret, remorse, and self-reproach. Testimonies for the Church. 1. 455. Purses of God's people drained. Means transferred to enemies' ranks. Testimonies for the Church. 1. 551.